Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. We're talking about two birds, one mom, 8 ways to get healthier while spending time with your kids. And what a perfect time of the year to talk about that during the summer months. We're talking about Grace DeRosha. She's a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and certified health coach at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Grace, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Vanessa.
I really love this topic because it's really a perfect time of the year to be talking about, you know, get healthier with your kids. How did this come about for you?
So I am a mom of two now, which it's so funny how time just lapses and you think you're still 20, but really
you're not.
Now you have two children and you're trying to keep up.
I know. And it is. And you want the same energy as they have. So what are some of the things that we could do with our kids, especially in the summer months, to get healthier together?
Well, yes, exactly. Like school is out or it's going to be out very soon. Mm-hmm. And now is the time for everyone to play outside because we actually have that nice weather here in Michigan. There's so many different things. And the way I like people to think about that is it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be really simple, like playing tag, you know, playing tag outside with your kids. It's a way for you to get some exercise along with getting some activity for the kids so then they sleep well for you at night. Even going to the pool, having little dance parties, little things that can be fun and easy.
You know, it's so funny because you talk about going to the pool and you think of the pool, they just kind of play and go down the slide. And we go to a gym that has a pool, a very beautiful pool. And I got Elena to do laps with me as like a fun thing. You know, and it's like, hey, Elena, let's do laps together and let's see who can outlast the other one. And you know what I mean? So I made it kind of like a fun little game. And the other day I took her to the pool and I got panicked because I couldn't find her. And I looked around like, where did you know, you turn around for a second and they're gone. And I went to go put, you know, a sunscreen on and I look up and I'm like, she's gone. Where'd she go? She was right in front of me. And I'm looking all around and all of a sudden she comes back to me and I go, where were you? I mean, I was freaking out because like 20 minutes passed and she goes, I was doing laps in the lap pool. I'm like, oh, okay.
That is so awesome because that is a perfect example of they're like little sponges and they're watching everything we do and we don't even realize that we're inspiring them sometimes or picking, you know, they're picking up our good habits, our bad habits too.
Yeah.
So we want to, you know, try to give them that sense of, you know, I'm trying to be healthy and do better. And so they know it's like a normal, regular thing. And it's time spent with mommy.
What about parks? I mean, obviously, sometimes it gets too hot, especially when we hit the 90s. But we do have some beautiful days in the summer and the fall. What about going to the park? What are some of the things that we could do at the park together?
So I love the park. And the playgrounds are really a great, almost like mini gym for anyone, right? Because there's the slides where you can do some push-ups just off the slide where it doesn't have to be complicated or too hard. It kind of gives you that little bit of leverage so that you don't have to do a push-up on the ground. You know, obviously walking around the park, using the park benches for tricep dips or even like stepping up and off, you know, up onto the bench and off of it for your legs. Even using like the swing, you know, even pushing your kids on the swing actually is almost like doing a push-up itself. But you could lunge, you could do squats. You could even use the monkey bars as a way to do pull-ups or, you know, and have fun with the kids at the same time. They see moms playing and they want to play and move and have fun with you.
And what about just like even going and playing catch or frisbee or, you know what I mean, kickball or anything like that, organizing your own little informal soccer game or.
Yes, I was just going to say, if you bring, you know, if you bring your own balls or your own fun little, you know, there's basketball courts, there's volleyball courts too, frisbee, like t-ball, soccer. I love all of those things.
And, you know, we have a basketball net in our backyard. And so we go out there and we play around the world, you know, spell the word world out, you know. And I know it's not that strenuous, but it's something, you know what I mean? Something to do that's fun.
I always say something is better than nothing, right? Because the alternative would be sitting inside in the air conditioning instead of moving around and getting a little bit of fresh air, getting a little bit of vitamin D with the sun, but of course using our sunscreen. I think even something as simple as like turning on music and dancing a little bit.
I love doing that. We actually do that a lot in the wintertime.
Yes.
You know, it's fun. And then she makes up all these little dance moves.
That's my daughter too.
Yeah,
they love, like, and music, actually, we know it's good for energy levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the brain. It's also actually a natural appetite suppressant.
Oh, it is?
As a side note, yeah.
Dancing is? Or music, just music?
Just music itself,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good to know. So
yeah.
We're talking with registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and certified health coach at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Grace is with us. Grace, you also talk about planting a garden. I love that idea. Why is that something so important?
I think it's important for the kids to understand the process, and it's fun. So we know that gardens actually can help lower blood pressure and cholesterol. They can prevent diabetes and heart disease, depression, osteoporosis for the adult. But planting the garden also saves time and money, and it also gives you an opportunity to teach the kids about healthier eating.
You know, in Two Birds, One Mom, 8 Ways to Get Healthier While Spending Time with the Kids. And I think planting, whether it be like flowers or vegetable gardening, is a great way to spend time with your kids. It's just some, you know, you have to be elaborate about it either.
Right. Yeah. It could be very simple little flowers. It could be an herb garden that you start inside even and then bring it outside. Teach them how to weed. That's definitely the task that they should have.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, like you talked about, Grace, from work to household chores and children, it's sometimes difficult for moms to find ways throughout the day to focus on their health goals and to incorporate their kids. You don't feel kind of guilty, like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym without you. You're finding ways to exercise by incorporating your kids with you.
Yes. And I think sometimes we overthink it. And granted, do I think it's good sometimes to have your time out away and, mm-hmm. and go to the gym or have a few minutes to yourself? Absolutely. But when there's not, you know, the day is never perfect. We have chores, emergencies come up. All of a sudden, you know, there's a million things that have to be done and we don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're tired. There's never enough time. There's always a to-do list. So thinking of ways that you can kind of incorporate family time mm-hmm. and enjoying the children while mm-hmm. getting some things done is always nice.
What about incorporating your kids in a fun way of doing chores?
Yes. So when they're young, it's a little bit harder. We always would joke around when the babies were crawling and say, oh, look, they're sweeping the floor for us. But teaching them that, too, as part of what is considered the norm for a good, healthy, clean house,
mm-hmm.
they can help with a little bit of dusting, whether mm-hmm. you get a feather duster or just have them wipe, depending on how old the kids are, having them wipe and dust actually,
mm-hmm.
and doing simple things like collecting the laundry,
mm-hmm.
you know, with you, and kind of they can see you do it, but then they can help. My son, he's 1.5. He always loves to put the laundry in the laundry machine for me.
Oh.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I when Atlanta was really young, probably 1.5, 2 years old, I got her those little kid brooms and dustpans. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It was the kids, and she would like sweep along with me. And I can tell you, honestly, Grace, today, the girl will make a mess, and without me saying one word, she'll go to the laundry, get the broom, get the dustpan, and clean up her own mess. And I'm convinced it's because I incorporated that, like, as a young age.
Yes, you're giving me great ideas as well.
Yeah.
My kids love the big broom.
Yeah.
I just need to get them a little one so that... And we have a little dustbuster. My 4-year-old, she knows, like, when she makes a mess, she grabs that little thing mm-hmm. and vacuums it right up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they are definitely our little mini-me's and our sponges. So I love that you know, even putting dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
And having that be something that they know that they're supposed to do after
mm-hmm.
they eat
mm-hmm.
is a great way to round out and finish up your meal.
Yeah, exactly. You talk about, Grace DeRocha, we're talking registered dietitian, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Reimagine your dumbbells. What do you mean by that?
Use your kids. You know, we're picking them up all the time anyways, especially your little ones mm-hmm. When they're younger.
Yeah.
Use them as your dumbbells. Use them as your weights. It could be you just holding them and like doing some lunges or squats or even walking.
Mm-hmm.
You can put them on your stomach while you're doing some sit-ups, even if the TV's on or if you have a little music playing.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold them in front of you for some twisting. There's mm-hmm. so many different things. And then, like, the little kids think that's so fun. They're like, oh, mommy's playing with me.
Yeah.
And little do they know you're actually getting some exercise in.
Yeah.
And as they get older, they actually will start, and I'm sure you probably know this with your daughter,
mm-hmm.
they start to see, oh, mom's doing her squats now, or,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's the sit-up time, or mm-hmm. whatever it might be, or stretch time. That's mm-hmm. one of our favorites we do, like, good night yoga poses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good
idea.
It
helps them unwind, mm-hmm. really. and it's part of our process before bedtime.
Oh, that's a good idea. I would never have thought about that. That's a great idea, especially to relax opposed to having them, you know, play the electronics before they go to bed.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You also talk about run, walk, or roll. What can we do there?
I think building like healthy habits that become like little family traditions make all of us look forward to what that might be. So whether it's, you know, going for a walk after dinner or before dinner or, you know, in the evening before it's bath time. And that could be walking or running for us or the kids too, or they can ride their bikes or use roller skates as kind of a way to incorporate them in that process and kind of show them that that can be a little habit that you guys do all the time.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I hear from moms all the time, Grace DeRosha, a registered dietitian, is the challenge of preparing meals, healthy snacks, meal time with the kids, especially when you've got picky eaters. What are some of your recommendations in terms of, you know, meal planning, for instance?
So I think meal planning is something that should be done as a family. It helps kind of budget yourself and put you really back in that driver's seat of healthier food options. What happens is that we get so busy that then the convenience foods, so whether it be carryout or fast food or ordering a pizza, is kind of like what we go to. So when you have a meal plan, it gives you that opportunity to pick healthier food options and get the kids used to eating healthier food. So I always recommend meal planning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's important for people to know, and so I work with children all the time, that it actually takes 15 to 20 times to try something before you acquire a taste for it. So that's for
children good to know.
And adults.
Okay. Because we had a long time challenge with Elena wanting to eat any fruit. I mean, she would eat vegetables, but she wouldn't eat fruit, which was really weird. And so Ronnie and I, my husband and I decided like, okay, we're going to make a game out of this. And we're like, okay, Elena, you get to pick the fruit that we're going to eat as a family this week. You get to pick the, you know, three or four fruits and it's on you. You can get, and that's what we're going to eat as fruit this week. And so when we started doing that, she's like, okay, you know, she got excited that she got to pick it, that it got her to like, okay, now she likes cantaloupe. It took us a long time. And now she likes strawberries. But it was like, I had to do that to get her to even want to eat fruit.
Yeah, like make her part of the process. You know what I mean? So she kind of feels ownership over that. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, is having her do that and making it fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell some parents pick like a color for the week or for the day.
Oh, that's
like,
a cool
a
idea.
Day. Oh. So now we're going to have red peppers and cherries and strawberries.
Oh,
and
that's
tomatoes.
A great idea. That's
you know,
fun.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, any fun way that you can help incorporate that, you know, even when you get home, having them help wash it or actually prepare it. Some of the older teen kids I recommend to their parents, have them pick a day of the week, and that's their day to make the menu.
Oh, that's good idea.
And then actually make it. So then, one, not only are they kind of owning that day, but they're learning how to cook and how to be better and try to have healthier foods and kind of own that experience.
You know, it's funny, Grace, because we see that, you know, we're a big Cooking Channel family. We love watching the Cooking Channel and Chopped and all that. And they have a lot of kids now, kid programs of cooking. What's your take on that? Do you think it's a positive thing to see kids on the Chopped, you know, kitchen and these cooking contests and like that? Do you think this is helping them learn how to cook?
Yes. Oh, I also love Chopped. We've actually had like little Chopped challenges with some of my friends and the kids have been involved.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think kids in the kitchen cooking, doing the things to help increase their palate, and then other children seeing that and you guys watching those types of shows are always motivating. My daughter is very proud that she can spread her peanut butter on her bread now.
Oh, she's very
like,
good.
And she said, "This is like Chopped, Mommy." And I'm like, "Yes."
Yeah. I actually, my friend and I had our daughters go take a cooking class. It was a cooking camp. And I mean, I was impressed in what they taught these kids to do, like making dough from scratch and making, more of a detailed salad. And I was like, wow, this is impressive. And every day they made a different meal and it was a pretty extensive. They taught the kids how to measure, they picked healthy options. And I was really impressed with that. And I thought this is a great life lessons.
Yes, absolutely. That is so awesome. Do you feel like it helped teach your daughter a little bit more about cooking?
Oh, yeah. She's so into it. I mean, she was already into it, but now she, like, understands measurements. She understands, you know, how to follow a recipe, you know, the measuring cups and all that kind of stuff, and the teaspoon, the tablespoon. And I was really impressed with what they taught her in that 1 week, how much she learned and how excited she gets about, you know, making her own things.
I love that. And it's a life lesson for the long haul. You know, if you teach them early and get them involved in the kitchen, then they're hopefully going to prepare more meals at home as they get older as well.
When we try to tackle issues such as overweight and losing weight and exercise, do you think we overthink it too much, Grace, that it stops people from being successful?
I think we can. I think that the word diet has this. So I don't really like the word diet because it has the connotation of a beginning and an end.
Yeah, that's
and I
true.
Think if we did kind of make it a little bit more simple and have better understanding, you know, as parents, that we are inspiring our kids and not to be too forceful or too over the top with you can never. The word never also is not a good one, because as soon as a child hears that, as soon as I hear that, I turn off, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So I think trying to do better, and I think what it really comes down to a lot of the times is making a conscious effort to do better and also to watch that we're having the right portion for our body. I always talk about that. I'm 5'1", I like to say, but I'm probably 5 feet. Mm-hmm. And my husband is like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
But when we eat together, and I call this like the food envy moment.
Yeah.
As a 5'11 man, he can have more than I can, just simply because of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think eating for our own bodies should become very important so that people understand like the right portions for their own particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, because we all can't eat the same. We all have different metabolisms, different heights and different body mass and different muscle mass. And it's really not a one size fits all approach to your eating habits.
Yes, that's the best way to put it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And for kids, it's different, too. We're talking with Grace DeRosha. She's a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and certified health coach. And I want to talk a little bit about diabetes, because it seems to be becoming a growing problem in the country today. Is that a direct correlation to our eating habits and obesity issues?
Yes. So type 2 diabetes, it's what is growing exponentially. We even have kids now, which before kids were not being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So type 2 diabetes is the lifestyle diabetes is what I, you know, tell people. And if you can change some of your lifestyle habits, you will not acquire it.
Let me ask you that, because I was just going to, you actually kind of answered a question before I asked it. But so if a child gets diabetes as a child, it's not necessarily type 1 juvenile diabetes.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's something they could actually control and get rid of if they wanted to, if they could.
Yeah. So type 1 diabetes used to be called juvenile diabetes or the childhood diabetes.
Okay.
And that's when you're not creating any insulin at all.
Okay.
So that's one diagnosis, where type 2 diabetes is, again, the lifestyle diabetes. But now we're seeing kids with such low metabolisms, eating issues, not enough exercise, that now we are diagnoses of type 2 diabetes in kids.
Okay. And so, but type 1, is that more of a genetic issue?
Yes, it can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And so type 2 is lifestyle. And so, but we could correct that. So if a child is diagnosed with diabetes at, you know, 10, 11, 12, whatever it may be, it's correctable just like it would be correctable in an adult.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But I have to believe, Grace, being diagnosed at a young age, there's got to be, I mean, that's a longer time of having diabetes as opposed to somebody getting it in their 30s or 40s or 50s.
Exactly.
And
that is what, you know, as a diabetes educator, that is my fear for kids, is that they're getting it so young, you know, as a type 2 diabetic, which, again, never used to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is where the parents step in to say, we need to make changes. We need to own this house. We need to build the structure of the home for healthy living.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the people listening this morning who, because sometimes you may not have symptoms of diabetes until you go into a diabetic coma or something like that. What are some of the symptoms we should be looking out for as parents in our children?
So some of the symptoms for diabetes would be increased thirst, like to the point where you would notice it. either as an older child or as a parent, seeing your kid always thirsty, and they're always, always thirsty. Mm-hmm. Not just in the summer and not just with playing and mm-hmm. not just with activity, but always thirsty. Mm-hmm. And so with that comes increased urination. Mm-hmm. So they always have to use the bathroom.
Okay.
Because what your body's trying to do there is it's trying to flush the excess sugar out of your body.
Okay. Okay.
So those would be the two main symptoms that people would see.
Okay. Good to know. Grace DeRocha is who we're talking to this morning, registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and certified health coach. She loves helping others learn how to live a healthier and happier life. She's with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Get into certified health coach for us. What does that entail?
So as a certified health coach, I try to do things to help motivate living a healthy lifestyle. So a lot of times it can be what we've talked about here, healthy eating, getting your exercise and physical activity in. But sometimes it's also overcoming some of the hurdles that get in your way. Hence, you know, why we're talking about moms and kids and trying to get rid of the excuses and just get it done together with things that have to get done around the house. So talking through some of those things, as well as giving some education and knowledge about what is healthy eating and what is good exercise.
Mm. And in terms of tips for people listening this morning, Grace DeRocha with Blue Cross Blue Shield, how can we get regular information from what you're doing as a certified health coach and educator and dietitian, what Blue Cross Blue Shield is offering information? Like, how can we find out more?
We have a wonderful blog and online community at ahealthiermichigan.org.
Ahealthiermichigan.org?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a blog and we can find out more and get regular tips on, you know, staying healthy and exercise and eating and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. We have everything from healthy recipes to exercises to prevention tips and different events that we also have.
Mm-hmm. Grace has been talking to us this morning here at your community about two birds, one mom, eight ways to get healthier while spending time with your kids. We talked about meal plans, plant a garden, prepare healthy snacks and meals together, hit the pool, reimagine your dumbbells, use your kids as you're picking them up, run, walk, or roll, dance it out, and play at the park. I wanted to get back into preparing healthy snacks, too. Is there ever, like, okay, so you can't say, you talked about it, Grace. You can't ever tell your kid you're never going to have ice cream. It's not realistic, especially in a hot summer day. So what is realistic in terms of, you know, is it like maybe a couple times a week you get treated to ice cream? Or how does that work for parents listening who don't really know how to monitor or moderate the so-called unhealthy stuff, treats?
So I'm so glad that you brought this up. I think, again, building the structure of the home to help support you becomes the key. So if you guys want to go out for ice cream, you know, two or three times a week, once you had your healthy meal at home, I would recommend doing that over having the tub of ice cream at home.
I agree
with you. Because when the tub is at home, someone's going to eat it. Probably going to be the whole family.
Yeah.
Where if you're going out, then the temptation is not really there.
Yeah.
And that can be with any treat type foods, you know, chips or candy or ice cream. I would never say never,
mm-hmm.
but I would say, again, try to keep it away so it's not always in the face of the kids and the parents for that matter.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point. It's so funny because you try to think of cost effective, and my husband and I talked about that. We're like, well, it's so much cheaper just to have the ice cream at home or the chips. I'm like, but if we don't have it here, we're not going to eat it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just so much better just to, okay, so we spend a little bit more money. We're less likely to have ice cream every day.
And there's things that you can do, you know, besides the fun treats that you go out and have, but think of like healthier versions to replace that,
yeah,
that still kind of give that sensation. Like you can make your own, you could juice or make smoothies and then you freeze that to,
yeah,
make popsicles.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then,
yeah,
that way, mm-hmm, you're having, you know, some of your fruits and vegetables that are snuck into that little frozen treat that you can still enjoy,
mm-hmm,
and not overdo it with the, you know, heavy duty ice creams.
Before we let you go, Grace DeRocha from Blue Cross Blue Shield, any last tips for our listeners this morning here on Inter Community?
I would say definitely think about, as the parent, what motivates you long term so that you can live a healthy lifestyle and teach your kids to do that as well. And don't forget to check us out at ahealthiermichigan.org.
ahealthiermichigan.org. Grace Yarosha from Blue Cross Blue Shield, thank you so much for joining us this morning here
thank
on InterCommunity.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
My pleasure. If you have any questions or comments, show topics you want us to cover, get to me, Vanessa Denha, by going to info@denhamedia.com. That's denhamedia.com. As always, we're encouraging our listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with your community. Thanks so much for listening.
It's your community.